going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Okay. What's worse? A biohazard up and down the fuselage of your plane. That's choice A, Dan.
Ew.
And then
that was real air traffic control audio, by the way, from 2023.
I think we have a new contender for aircraft for jerk air.
Oh.
We have the passengers for jerk air.
Yeah.
We have the board of directors. We have found pilots for jerk air. But until today, we did not have an appropriate aircraft from the New York Post. These vacationers really raised the roof, and no, they weren't partying. Freaked out air travelers were forced to hold up the roof of their plane after its interior suddenly caved in during a recent trip from Atlanta to Chicago. It happened April 14th, last Monday. Quoting here from Lucas Michael Payne, "My homie was on a Delta flight and the ceiling collapsed."
My homie.
He's an influencer. I hate that word. Representatives for Delta told the Post, "Delta thanks our customers for their patience and cooperation. We apologize for the delay in their travels."
So this was one of the panels along the center aisle between the overhead carriage compartments. It was probably about 8 feet long, it looked like. And yeah, they had multiple people just standing, holding this thing up in place.
Okay, look this up, Dan. Eye-popping footage of the snafu featured a group of men extending their arms upward to support the plane's detached top while at 30,000 feet. The attendants finally used, any guesses?
Duct tape.
Duct tape holds the world together.
Oh, yeah.
They used duct tape, and that held up for a while. Delta offered the passengers 10,000 miles, basically $100. They had to go back to Atlanta, wait for hours, and then deplane to get on another plane.
They offered them $100. They didn't even get a free massage out of it.
$100. Now, I haven't seen the photograph in question, but this has to be an interior portion of the plane.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, so when you're sitting in your seat and you look up and you've got the part of the ceiling that's closer to you.
Yes.
Because that's the bottom of the overhead compartment,
then you've
right?
got the center.
And then in the middle aisle, it's a little bit taller. It was one of those panels off of the middle aisle.
Now, we apparently have two airplanes to choose from.
Okay.
To bring onto our jerk air fleet.
Lay it on me.
Because there were two different Delta flights that had the same mishap. The ceiling collapsed mid-flight.
Stop it.
Last Monday, April 14th, a plane flying from California to Atlanta collapsed, hitting one passenger in the head.
That's the same day, Dan.
Yeah, exactly. Two of them.
Okay, what is going on?
Weird.
I'm looking at
the
photos.
From the text line, yeah, but did you die? Here's your $100. Get over it.
I mean,
these planes are going to be pretty cheap. We could probably afford to bring them onto our fleet.
I mean, between that and engines catching on fire and wheels flying off, we've got a pretty big fleet so far.
God. All right.
Yeah, the other flight, the Atlanta to Chicago flight, yeah.
An update to a story that we first brought you a few weeks ago, and the outcome, according to a court, the outcome is infuriating to me. What do you do if you accidentally share a name, a common name, with someone who happens to be famous? Think Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan, yep. Is Michael B. because through SAG-AFTRA in the Hollywood world, you can only have one Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan had already starred in what, Space Jam?
Yeah.
Whatever. Michael B. Jordan then goes by Michael B. This is an update on the story involving Katy Perry, and I do not understand this. Singer Katy Perry has successfully appealed against a trademark decision over her name after being sued by an Australian designer who sells clothes under her birth name, Katy Perry. Three appeals judges on Friday overturned a court decision last year that favored the other Katy Perry over merchandise sold by the pop star during a 2014 tour of Australia. The judges said Perry had been using her name as a trademark 5 years before the other started her business,
the
clothing
singer,
business.
The
yes.
singer, her real name is Catherine Elizabeth Hudson.
So listen to this. The judges also canceled the trademark for the Katy Perry clothing designer on Friday.
Wait, what?
Yes. Katy Perry, the clothing designer, lost against Katy Perry, the singer.
So this all started because the clothing designer was unhappy that Katy Perry, the singer, was coming into town and putting clothes with Katy Perry all over it into shops around Australia,
yeah,
because she was doing her tour. And so the other Katy Perry that nobody knows about, well, they know about her now because of the news story, filed suit saying she's stealing my trademark. And now they have removed her trademark.
Correct.
Entirely?
Correct. That Katy Perry had likened her legal battle to David and Goliath. She told the Sydney Morning Herald after Friday's ruling she is, quote, devastated with the case's outcome. She shouldn't have poked the bear.
They must have different types of, you know, they do down under.
The appeals judges said it was unfortunate that the case pitted two enterprising women who used their names as trademarks but were unaware that the other existed. Quoting here from one of the judges, both women put blood, sweat, and tears into developing their businesses. As the fame of one grew internationally, the other became aware of her namesake and filed a trademark application.
Wouldn't the person that has the birth name Katy Perry?
I think so, Sam.
Have more ground than the person whose birth name is not Katy Perry? But it's actually Katy Hudson?
And here's the other reason. Katy Perry is a common name. There's going to be more than one Katy Perry in the world that has that owns a business, period.
Now, I get it if the clothing designer Katy Perry decided to start making music and traveling the world, you know, performing her music, she would have to probably change her name.
But think about it. David Spade's cousin, pardon me, Kate Spade. Kate Spade was a name that is also and continues to be, even after her death, continues to be the trademark.
Yeah.
Kate Spade.
Very popular bag brand.
Handbags. I understand if your name happens to be Katy Spade, that they are not going to allow you to trademark that for handbag design.
Perhaps Katy Perry of Australia went a little too far and pulled that thread. And
right, and said, I want to be Katy Perry. And Katy Perry's like, no, I'm Katy Perry.
She probably didn't need to go as far as she did. And, I mean, was she in the right?
I don't like the trademark for common name. I know that.
But now she's lost.
Katy Perry, the superstar, is Katy Perry. But if you own a business and you had that name first.
And I thought trademarks were pretty specific toward a product.
Well, the problem is her product in this case is clothing. And Katy Perry, the international superstar, was selling shirts,
yeah,
merch that say her name. Anyway.
You're right. She shouldn't have poked the bear because now she doesn't even have a trademark.
This is
right.
Why trademark lawyers make so much money.
And, of course, it's Australia, so they've got different trademark laws, apparently.
Yep. All right. Speaking of T-shirts, when we get back, do you know that there are young people who are making up to $36,000 a year renting out t-shirts. What?
What? Wait, what?
What?
Ooh.
We're going to talk about it straight ahead. Is your teenager one of them? I want to talk to you. This is a great business model. You don't have to do a thing, and it's crap you already own.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. We're back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
If you have college kids or teenagers, you're going to love this next story. There's an app out there that I had never heard of called Pickle. It's like Airbnb for clothing. Poshmark's another one, but that stuff to me was always like super high end. Like you could get, you know, not that I would, but like a $5,000 purse for $1,000 used, right? Used stuff. Listen to this. It is popular because Generation Y and Z and beyond apparently are more into responsible consumerism than our people were. They have seen a marked decline in the fixation on, quote, owning things, and they credit Instagram. People who grew up seeing other people's vacations are more wired to think of value as coming not from what you own, but what you experience. And young people today are more likely to say, why should I buy this if I can sort of get it, experience it, then give it back?
Yeah, so it's a peer-to-peer rental service for lower ticket items. So Pickle, you had mentioned, is for clothes. They're also using one called Utilize. Utilize has more than just clothes. You can do like Bluetooth speakers or even chainsaws, it says here. And so kids are taking stuff they have laying around their room and throwing it up on these websites. And
they can even in some cases deliver it, Sam. But listen to this. If you have ever had, and I don't not just mean teenage boy or girl. I don't just mean teenage girls.
Yeah.
If you have a teenage boy, they love brand stuff.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I'm talking about the college set because some of these kids are making up to $36,000 a year renting out their stuff. And let
Supreme.
Me give you an idea. Supreme stuff, absolutely. Mm-hmm. One of them is a fancy dress. I don't even know how to pronounce the name of the dress. It's $898 to buy it or $100 to rent it.
Yeah.
How many dances do these girls go to? And they always want a new dress for the dance. And I never understood that because once you wear it, they will not wear it again. And I have always said we need some sort of dress exchange, large scale dress exchange, where girls can just go and swap out that crap and parents then aren't constantly buying stuff.
Now, we've had the like Rent the Runway, so we've had dresses and dress rental options for years. This is just spreading it out more to really anything they can find in their closet. What I don't understand is how do you ensure that they're not going to ruin it?
I think, Sam, there's probably a deposit and or it's like a rating system just like Uber, and you don't want to get banned from using a site that you love, so everyone behaves. It's like everyone's got skin in the game. You rent me something and I'm nice to that item. I rent you something and you're nice to that item. It's the same thing with home swaps. You can home swap right now where I come to France for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You come to the United States for 2 weeks. And because you're in my house and I'm in your house,
we're going to treat everything nicely.
And everyone it's all behaves,
be yeah.
right?
But like for naturally sweaty people, I used to be one.
Okay.
You send back that T-shirt. And if you are going onto one of these websites to rent a T-shirt, it's probably some limited edition Supreme T-shirt that they bought for like $300 that you're paying $40 to rent.
Right.
If you were to wear that to a night out, say you go clubbing or whatever, and you sweat in it, you leave pit stains, somebody spills a drink on you, all of a sudden now, you know, there's no guarantee that that limited edition shirt is going to come back in one piece.
One of these startups, Sam, they went right by three college campuses. You can rent party supplies.
Smart.
You can rent a PA system, a karaoke machine, really tall ladders, like stuff that you would need as a college kid that you're not going to go to Lowe's and buy a ladder. And then listen to this for our brides. 33-year-old Becca Erickson is a product designer living in Brooklyn and says she is using Pickle to cover part of her wedding. Her wedding is coming up. She's going to rent her bridal accessories, primarily in an effort to make environmentally conscious choices. But also, you're not asking someone to shell out $200 or more for a dress that no one is ever going to wear again. Would you rent out your clothes, or do you think that's a little weird? Like, they don't do swimsuits, do they? That's super weird.
I don't think I could rent out my clothes. I'm too particular. By the way, so it's similar to like Turo and Airbnb. It is location-based. So if you're going to go on to Pickle and you're going to say, I want to rent a dress for tomorrow night's dance, and if you're waiting until the day before to get a dress, what are you doing? It's somebody in your area who can then drive it straight to your door the following day.
So there's no shipping. You can just go to someone's door.
By the way, their motto is Pickle today, wear tonight.
Meaning you're in a pickle. That's why it's called Pickle. Mm-hmm. If you're in a pickle, you can still get something at the last minute. Plans come up and people are like, I need something.
They have four main occasion categories: weddings, parties, vacation, and brunch.
Brilliant.
I will be honest, it appears to be only marketed to women. There is not a single man on this website.
Okay, I read further down in the article, there are startups that are specifically gearing toward young men. And let me give you a great example for a young man, Sam. You have your first job interview. You want to wear a sport coat, but you don't have $300 to go buy a sport coat. That is a brilliant use of a rental. And then I wonder if there's like dry cleaning costs thrown in or something for stuff like that.
Get a reformation dress in New York City, New York for $65.
God, for the high school kids, that is so, so important. Rent a dress for $20. You don't have to buy something. You don't have to spend the money. And then it's going to hang in your closet for the rest of your life anyway. All right. Speaking of high school, I know Jamie and Grayson brought this up today. It was in my stack as well. Whew, I can see both sides of it. A school district is refusing to place an empty chair. Coming up, it's graduation season. At the graduation for a student who happened to die by suicide. A mom whose daughter died by suicide wants an empty chair placed at graduation to honor her child, and the school district has said no. The death happened 2 years ago when Kaylee was just 15 years old, and her mother has requested an empty chair placed at graduation to not only honor her daughter, but to bring awareness to mental health. The Milford School Board says it does not allow empty chairs to honor deceased students for any reason at a graduation ceremony. We're going to come back to that here in a minute. Instead, her name will be printed in the graduation program. It will be read aloud at the ceremony.
Okay.
They are going to read her name at the ceremony.
So she will be honored.
Her family will also receive an honorary diploma, cap, and tassel, which I'm going to be honest, to me, is more of an acknowledgement than just having an empty chair. If you've got 400 kids graduating in a class, no one is going to look down and see an empty chair and wonder, why is there an empty chair? You're not even going to see it.
Yeah, but why didn't that kid show up?
You know who's
they're not going
to
think
it?
That it's someone who...
I would feel so bad for the graduating student on the left of the empty chair and the graduating student on the right.
Who just so happen to have last names that are
Who have
similar.
Last names, yeah. Right next to it, because those kids are there to celebrate a glorious day. So here's the deal, yeah. When we come back, 913-586-7798. Man, I see both sides to this, but I'm leaning on the side of the district, truly. Because what are they supposed to do if
and
there are...
And what if it's
are,
not a suicide?
Okay.
What if it's another...
Let's talk about that.
You know, maybe they died of a rare form of cancer, or maybe they got in a car accident. We saw, tragically over the weekend, two students from Shawnee Mission South High School, my alma mater, who died in a car crash after prom.
On the way home from prom.
Yeah.
So Sam, Scott would always ask this question, and I echo that, even though he's on vacation. Where do you draw the line? What if the death is criminal in nature? Where does the district draw the line? And I hope that in your graduating class, everyone got to that finish line and is healthy and happy and safe. But every year, things happen. Things happen in high school. And so do you honor all of the kids, or is it a blanket policy and you say we're not going to do it for any
of
them?
Yeah, you have to have a hard and fast rule either way.
913-586-7798. We will take your calls straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks. So my heart breaks for this family, and a student has shared a petition online in favor of adding an empty chair to graduation. And that petition has gathered more than 6,000 signatures. But the school board has stepped in and is steadfast in its decision. And here's the quote from the school board, and I have to agree here. They say, "We will not make any different decisions depending on how a student passed away. We do not place empty chairs for any student because doing so selectively would be unfair." And then they write unsafe. I don't know that I agree with that.
Yeah, why would it be unsafe?
While we understand there is a petition circulating with many signatures, we also want the community to know that we've been listening to a wide range of voices.
From the text line, "I agree with the school. They are actually doing quite a lot."
Yeah, to read the name, I agree.
Is that not impinging on the whole class?
Okay, let me ask you this.
Is that insensitive to even ask that question?
Do you read the name? And then I will throw this in again. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
Because then you have to start deciding, are we going to read the name of every single student that has died? And then how far back, Sam? And I'm not being insensitive. I'm asking, if the district loses a child in the fourth grade to a car wreck, do you read that student's name when very few of those students are even going to remember that child?
And the empty chair, it doesn't matter, because when you read the name and no one walks across the stage, you're going to notice.
It breaks my heart, but I don't think the district's in the wrong here, because they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. Let's go to Mike in Topeka. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
You know, I think maybe rather than doing an empty chair for the specific student, maybe they should do some type of memorial for any student who loses their life, whether it's through suicide or an accident or in an illness or whatever. You know, if they have a student that would have been graduating, just an ongoing memorial,
yep.
Kind of off to the side and specific for that, but not specific to a particular student, if that makes sense.
You know, I kind of like that idea, Mike, because then you're doing one
right. And
mention and memorial for all of them.
Yeah, and you're kind of encompassing everyone and giving that awareness. At the same time, you're still honoring those students that may have been lost. But you're also not making it awkward, like you said, with the students in the audience to the left or to the right of that seat. You know, that's their happy day, and it should be happy. You know, you're not kind of impinging on that either. So it's kind of like a happy meeting between the two.
Yeah, Mike, I like that idea. And you just reminded me, one of the school districts years ago, and I mean this was so many years ago, I don't know if I was at Channel 5 then or not. One of the school districts, those kids would be around 40 years old. did place empty chairs for three, and remind me on the text line, it was three or four girls that were coming back from a practice. I don't remember if it was soccer, if it was softball.
Right.
They were coming back from a practice, Sam, in Blue Valley.
Got in an accident.
Got in an accident in like a drainage culvert and passed away. And I remember that, just an awful, devastating loss to that community. The first responders all needed counseling. It was just absolutely awful. And Blue Valley did have empty chairs for those four girls.
But and then have they done it for every death since?
I don't know if they've done it for every death since. And in that case, Sam, I think it was, you know, they were all in high school. I don't remember if they were seniors, but it was a pretty recent event where maybe that those were the only children lost from that class.
Right.
But again, if you do it for one, you have to do it for everybody.
From the text line, we've seen it at the end of award shows every single year. Do they do a sort of
an in memoriam?
Portion?
The fact that they're putting her in the program and they are reading her name, as you know, as a parent, you want your child acknowledged. To me, that is more of an acknowledgement than an empty chair that most people sitting in the stands just waiting to see Susie graduate. They're going to have no idea what that empty chair is for, even if they see the empty chair, which most probably won't even see it. I mean, you've looked down before at graduation. Yeah. You're in a stadium. You look down. There's just a sea of caps and gowns down there.
Right. I agree. Yeah. Reading the name is huge.
So I'm going to tell you this. If you look this up, districts are starting to bring these policies into line because there are stories all over the country. Out of Ohio, Florida, this latest story. In 2021, there was another case where thousands of people signed a petition for an empty seat at graduation. Also happened to be a student who died by suicide.
Well, I was just about to say, school districts are having to start to put policies in place because more and more students are taking their lives.
Now, here is one slight silver lining on an otherwise very dark cloud. The district said in this case they offered grief counseling for students and staff. They dedicated a soccer game to mental health, and they gave the child's mother an opportunity to walk through the high school. The district's mental health coordinator also spoke at the school board meeting and said 474 students are receiving mental health services through the district. 474, that is up from 255 last year. And that is a shocking number that it's 474, but you would rather those kids come forward and say, I'd like to talk to somebody, I need help, than not get help at all.
From the text line, we lost a student who crashed on the way to graduation.
Oh, God.
They didn't even tell us until after the graduation ceremony ended. They just pulled the chair.
Okay, but listen, I have to be with the district on that.
Yeah.
Because those kids are going to be devastated whether you tell them prior to the ceremony. They are going to be devastated if right. you tell them later. What most of them are going to find out, let's be honest, on social media. I think you do delay that announcement, Sam.
Yeah. And it's a day, I mean, for every other student, it's a day of celebration.
I know. Did you end up with, without saying names, obviously, all of the kids in your graduating class?
I think so. Yeah.
We just lost another one 2 weeks ago, and it's so, like, as, you know, someone in their 50s or whatever, I think we've lost four or five. One was a car wreck, a couple of health-related issues. It's still shocking to hear that, even though you haven't talked to that person in 30 years.
I did know two girls in high school who went to a different school who took their own lives 3 days apart. One on Friday, one on Sunday.
That's awful. That's awful. You know, I've always said that the yearbook, I don't know that the actual hard copy yearbook will still be a thing in 20 years or in 30 years.
Yeah.
But what is the first thing you do when you hear there has been someone who passed in your class or someone's going to prison? Let's be honest.
You
pull out the yearbook.
Yep.
Right? Anyway, 913-586-7798. Let us hope there are no decisions that have to be made like this in the next few weeks here locally. All right, back closer to home. Family of a 14-year-old killed in a mall shooting wants to know why some of those photos that were shown in court were later shared online. And I don't know what it is about this story that reminds me of the Kobe Bryant post-crash debacle, but we're going to talk about this because a state lawmaker has just introduced a bill to make sharing discovery photos from cases a state crime in Kansas. Federal law prohibits it. We do not have a state law that covers this. And keep in mind, there are discovery photographs shown in court for a wide variety of cases, almost everything you can imagine under the sun.
We talked about it recently with the Menendez case and the graphic photo they showed in court that they are saying put the aunt in so much turmoil that she was hospitalized.
I thought there was a law, Sam, we'll have to look this up, that even car wreck photos, if they are leaked and or shared, that is now against the law, as it should be. But I guess my question is, how do you make this illegal on the state level without, you know, these are photos shown in open court. So technically that is an open record.
A public forum, per se.
Well, it's an open record.
Yeah.
So do you go back and say you can't, do you close the record of just the photographs?
And now, those photos have to be submitted for evidence.
Really, really wealthy people with means and attorneys who have attorneys have figured this out. Because you remember right after Gene Hackman and his wife died, the family filed something in court immediately that said, we want their house kept private. We want the photographs kept out of the public eye.
They blocked all autopsy results.
Yes, as they should. But if you are a family that is going through a crisis and there has been a death, the last thing you're thinking about when you lose your 14-year-old is petitioning a court to keep the photographs out. We'll talk about it more straight ahead. 913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Stick around in the 5 o'clock hour. We are so excited on very short notice to get one of the track coaches for today's KU alumni Boston Marathon winner in the women's division. Her name is Shara Locati, and I keep wanting to say Lodecki because that reminds me of Lodecki.
Katie Lodecki, yeah.
It is Locati. this is so cool. She shattered all kinds of records today, you guys. She was a 10-time All-American and a 12-time Big 12 champion when she ran for KU from 2015 to 2019. And if you missed the news, today she destroyed the Boston Marathon record. She completed the 26.2-mile course in 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 22 seconds. And I'm not a track or field person, but Sam, you are. That is outstanding for many reasons, even when you compare her to the men.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was running at just over 5-minute pace. It's a wild feat to complete, and you hear her in the interview, the adrenaline pumping through her veins. She's talking about how it was really hard, and she knew it was hard, and she couldn't believe she ran that fast. It takes a lot of training, and you just go, 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 because if you think about what you're doing and what pain you're in, you're not going to go as fast as if you were just in that mindset of we're going to get the task done.
So one of her coaches, there are a ton of coaches, by the way, Dr. Michael Whitlessly is a listener of this program, because when I reached out, I just CC'd all the track people. I'm like, wow, can someone come and talk about this?
Give me one.
He listens to the show. He said, thank you for reaching out. I'm an avid listener. He is working around their practice time to call into the program.
It is track season.
He and a couple of people were there and coached her before she did this great thing, which is so, so cool. And we'll try to get her once she's back. I don't know where she lives now, but we'll try. A Leavenworth man is going to prison after attempting to flee from police, not on foot, but on a bicycle.
Ooh.
On February 6th, officers in the area of Shawnee and North 10th Streets saw a man riding a bicycle without lights. We'll come back to that. When an officer attempted to pull him over, the 45-year-old suspect took the bicycle off-road into a wooded area. The officer then pursued on foot. Despite repeated commands identifying themselves as law enforcement and ordering him to stop, he continued to run until he crashed into a large rock. After being warned that a taser would be used if he did not comply, the man continued to run and was eventually stopped via taser.
Well, he was warned.
Last month, he pleaded guilty to interference with law enforcement. On Friday, he was sentenced. This is kind of what I want to talk about. He got 16 months in prison.
Yeah.
They don't mess around in Leavenworth.
They don't appreciate it when you run from them when they're trying to stop
but
you either.
Can we go back to the bicycle? What? I mean, he was on a bicycle with no lights on it.
So
okay.
It doesn't say what time of day this happened.
We can assume this has to be night. Is it a law that you have to have like a headlight on your bicycle when you're riding around at night? If so, start arresting teenagers in the summer.
If you are riding on the roads at night, yes, you need to have lights. You need to be very easily seen.
Okay. Look, I love law enforcement. You know that I do. And I do appreciate the very difficult job that you have every single day. But like this went into like full chase and we're deploying a taser over a guy on a bike without a headlight.
Now, they did say that he 16 was
16 months in prison.
They did say that he was swerving. It is illegal to ride a bike on the roadway under the influence.
Okay,
so
but,
maybe
okay,
they suspected that,
that
he was under the influence.
Would you not way rather? I cannot believe I'm coming to his defense, but I'm going to here.
I can't believe you are either.
Would you not way rather someone who is wobbling be on a bicycle than be in a car?
The law is the law.
Oh, come on. This is like
getting pulled over on a lawnmower.
This is like George Jones getting pulled over on a lawnmower.
Now, people have gotten DUIs on horses. There have been stories where somebody got pulled over on a horse. They were suspected for a DUI. They told the officer he knows where he's going, which is true, by the way. Horses do know where they're going. He still got the DUI.
I think most people would agree with me. Text us if I'm wrong, that we have seen cases where people have done horrible things, taken life, and not gotten 16 months in prison. I don't know that this punishment fits the crime.
Had he not run from police, I don't think he would have gotten 16 months in prison. But it's the fact that he ran.
He didn't run. He cycled.
Well, that
Sam.
Let's
fled. Get our verbs straight. Here, Sam.
He didn't make it very far. Obviously wasn't a mountain bike because that rock did him dirty.
13586. Did they really need to tase him after he ran into a rock? I don't know.
He had a rough night, it sounds like.
I know. I think there are bigger fish to fry out there than wobbly guy on a bicycle.
All right.
I'm sorry, I do. 913-586-7798. We will be back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.